Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and go 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians 12, I invite you to stand with me if you're able tonight as we honor God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I told somebody that I was just going to preach the message I threw in the trash this morning and dig it out and wipe it off. And no, we are studying the foundations of the faith on Sunday night, and we've been studying what the Bible teaches about the church, and this is kind of part two from last Sunday of this. So 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 12 there with me, and I'll read down to verse number 14. The Word of God says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Amen. You may be seated this evening. A few opening thoughts there in your handout would simply be, is the local church a necessity in your life? Is it a necessity? And how do people maybe view church membership today? Let me remind you once again that the local church is one of three primary institutions that God has established on the earth. The first being the family, and then shortly after that, the civil government. And then in the New Testament, we see a brand new institution form, and it is the church, the body of Christ. There are many metaphors for the church in Scripture. The church is called the bride, it's called the vine, it's called the sheep of the kingdom, it's called a family. It's also called a building in a sense, metaphorically, that the foundation is the apostles and Jesus Christ, but maybe most often it is referred to as a body, especially in the book of 1 Corinthians. So last week we studied the unity of the body and the diversity of the body, and tonight we're going to study the necessity of the body. Look at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12 with me. It says this, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." We see there is a necessity, there is a need for the body. There are some handouts, maybe those didn't get, I got these two manly dudes walking down the aisle right now to, they happen to be the feet in the body, right? No, not the brains, not the head. Yeah. Oh, thank you guys for coming around and passing those out. That may help you a little bit to follow along. We're talking about the necessity of the body. So, really quick, here is the problem in the church at Corinth. There were certain gifts that were valued above other gifts. And so what ended up happening is that the Corinthian believers, they sought after those special important gifts, and they began belittling the other less important gifts of the Spirit. And so Paul is trying to correct that mentality and saying, hey, we're a body. We're one body, and we have many members, and every member of that body is extremely important. If we were all the eye, where would be the hearing? If we were all the mouth, where would be the smelling? You know, and the metaphor is a pretty good picture for us today. But what Paul is trying to emphasize again is simply this: the necessity of the body. The local church is of the greatest importance to the Christian. In most cases, the local church is the primary source for the believer for Bible teaching and worship and discipleship and accountability and encouragement and fellowship. Now, in the day and age that we live, We have access to online to countless sermons and live streams and churches and podcasts and all sorts of things. It didn't used to be that way. And so maybe, perhaps in the age in which we live, because there is such a plethora, such an access to these things, we can watch it, we can listen to somebody else, and those things are great and good. I mentioned this morning, I was listening to a sermon, you know, the other day, and talking about my water. What, is it good? Is it going to kill me? I don't know. I love listening to sermons. I love listening to Bible teaching. But those things cannot and should not replace the local church. And perhaps at times we don't value the local church as we should because we are bombarded by all of these other things. I was thinking about this the other day. Just imagine this, that at one point in time, to hear, let's say, a Christian praise and singing, you would have to go to your local church to hear that, to hear a believer sing to the Lord. Now, with the click of a button, I can listen to the most talented musicians and artists like that, right? And but again, it didn't used to be that way, and perhaps we've lost the value of the local body because we have all of this at our fingertips. And so we can't forget that the local body, the local church, is needful. It's necessary. It's important. Now, church membership, as we began talking about last week, and I know for much of you, I'm just preaching to the choir, but sadly, many Christians see little need for organized religion today, and to the point where pastors have to make an argument for why church membership is beneficial and biblical as well. Membership doesn't get you into heaven, all right? You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church in order to be saved. Church membership without a relationship with Christ means absolutely nothing. It's just another one of our good works that aren't too good in God's eyes, and hell is filled with people who are church members. Before anybody becomes a member of a church, the most important thing is not that you be on the roll of a church, but that your name be written in, what, the book of life, right? That's most important. But, there are two uses for the word church in Scripture. The word church means, or ecclesia, means called out assembly, okay? Assembly. Now, you have the church, which includes all believers. It includes Vision in Taiwan with the Walls family, and it includes you, and we are a part of that body, and one day we will all worship and praise the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We will sing together the praises of Jesus Christ, the Savior, and what a glorious day that will be. So we have the church, but we also have the local church. There are local manifestations of that body in different places. And if you're like, do we have evidence of this in Scripture? Yes. The evidence is there when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, right? And to the Galatians, and to the Ephesians, and to the Philippians, and to the Colossians, and so on and so forth. He was writing most often to these local churches. Now, just I used last week the illustration of me working at McDonald's. As you have the McDonald's Corporation, and then you have individual McDonald's as well. Well, I also worked at Taco Bell when I was 18. And how many of you have ever worked in fast food before? Okay, some of you haven't, and it shows. Okay, no, it's like a rite of passage for some, you know? No, I'm kidding. So I worked at Taco Bell on Western Avenue in Chillicothe. Now, we were known for our quality, not our quantity. We weren't the fastest Taco Bell. So we were going to make you wait, but it was going to be good when you got it, all right? Not like those Bridge Street hoodlums, okay? They were quick. They'd also shank you in a heartbeat, but no, I'm kidding. Now, there was one time where they needed some help here in Circleville. I actually worked at this Taco Bell in Circleville for like a day. They asked some folks to come up, and they brought me up. And it was like the wild, wild west up here. I was used to like organized, and it was clean and stuff. And then I got up here, and I was like, where do you want me? And they're like, just get over on the, so anywho, you have the Taco Bell Corporation, right? But then you have these local manifestations of that. And in the same sense, and I'm being silly, there's, you know, one company, many locations. When speaking of the church, the local church is the manifestation of the invisible church. We are the body of Christ, but the local body is the manifestation of the invisible body. Now, there may be some here or even on, you know, Sunday mornings, and they're trying to feel us out. I just met with some folks the other day who were asking questions about the church, and they were praying about joining, and praise God for that. They wanted to know a few things, and some have been attending for a while and are still trying to figure out, is this where God wants me to be? And I encourage you to continue praying about that. But eventually, you do officially need to be a part of a local church. Let me tell you why. First, we have the testimony of Scripture. I think that's letter A for you, the testimony of Scripture. The Bible does not directly address the concept of formal church membership. Now, I talked about this last week, and we looked at many different verses, but the Bible does imply church membership. I just want to say this. Of all the things that you could belong to, of all the organizations, and remember the church is an organism, not just an organization, but the church is by far the most important thing you could belong to. The word church is used 110 times in the New Testament. 93 of those refer to a local body, a local church. A careful study of Scripture doesn't reveal even a hint of a believer who was truly saved but not part of a local church. It's the testimony of Scripture. Letter B, next. Second, we see the well-being of the saints. The well-being of the saints. Many people think, well, I can do this on my own. I just don't need anybody else. But have you ever considered this? There are those who might need you. Christians don't realize that they are partly responsible for the spiritual welfare of other members of their church. Many of our responsibilities in the New Testament are spelled out in terms of one another commands. You've heard of those, I'm sure. These are found throughout Scripture. And yet several one another commands would be impossible to understand how they could be fulfilled toward other believers without involvement in a local church. You tell me, do these sound like commands for us to carry out in the invisible body of Christ or in a local body? Love one another. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Be like-minded toward one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. That's a command repeated multiple times in the New Testament. That's why we shake hands just on Sunday night, though. All right? Greet one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Here's one. Forgive one another. Is that applying to just the invisible body, the universal body of Christ? Speak the truth in love to one another. Be kind to one another, compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. This is done in and through not the invisible body, but the local body. How are these things possible apart from involvement in a local church? Now, you may have other believers in your life that are scattered throughout. Maybe that's home or work or elsewhere. But God's design for you is to be active and useful in a local church body. What could it say to the lost world when we invite? You should come. Well, how long have you been a member? Well, I'm not. What could we be communicating to those we seek to disciple? Church is important, but it's not that important. Today, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who believes being strong and independent is a bad thing, and yet in Scripture, we are never called to be independent. And perhaps many have the mindset of Cain that asks, well, am I my brother's keeper? God's answer, yes, you are. Yes. Membership is simply a way of saying, I'm a Christian, and I think this church is a good church. Not a perfect church. Stick around long enough. Somebody said something this morning. I'm trying to remember what they said. Something about this church has never disappointed them. I thought, you haven't been around here long enough, have you? I mean, just stick around I'll do it. If somebody else isn't doing it, I'll probably do it. Church membership says, I'm a believer, and this is a good church. We think about not only the responsibility toward the saints and the well-being of the saints, but I also want you to think about and consider the responsibility of the shepherd. The responsibility of the shepherd. Lastly, think about this just practically for a second. Church membership, practically, is important for organizational purposes. And again, I'm doing a lot of teaching tonight, and maybe it's edifying to you. Maybe you're like, all right, again, I'm already a member. You sold me, preacher. I'm good. Practically, church membership is important. It's a good way to determine who's allowed to vote for important church decisions. It's important for those who are eligible for positions in the church, where a person is able to serve in a church. If not by church membership, by what parameters could we determine those things? Is it salvation? So does that mean every person who's saved is a member of this church? Well, no. Is it salvation plus attendance? Well, we get a lot of people to visit. 444 visitors in 2025. Our church, our membership is booming, right? We're a mega church right now. And is it church membership based on attendance, visiting? Well, no, it can't be that. Well, what about those who attend regularly? How regular? For how long? There may be people who have been attending regularly, it's regular to them, for the past 3 or 4 years, and they visit about 3 or 4 times a year. But it is regular. So how long? Is it 2 years? Is it 6 months? Logically, is that 6 months attending 3 times a month? Is it 2 times a month? Maybe we could base it off of giving. But how much? What gets you in, you know? Is it a one-time gift, or is it a certain length of time, or everyone who throws a dollar in the plate, are they a member? What other factor could you practically use? Well, how did it look exactly in the early church? We don't know, but membership is not like common law marriage. You don't just, you know, well, we live together long enough in the state and some will say, hey, you're good. That's about it, right? No, we don't do common law membership. Do you think I'd be able to just stroll down to Sam's Club, walk around, eat enough free samples that they'd say, hey, you're a member now? Hey, that pizza deal that they have down there, that's just a side note. If you don't know about that, it's the greatest secret in Chillicothe, Sam's Club pizza deal, all right? No, this is a decision on each individual's part to be made and to be made publicly that you are committing to a congregation, but the church itself must also receive you as a member. Now, what's the point, okay? The point is this, that believers limit their ability to serve in a local body when they're not a member of that body. And here's the truth. Without becoming a member, you will never teach in this church. You will never lead a ministry in this church. You have no ability to vote in any decision that this church makes. You will never serve as a trustee or a deacon. You'll never lead a women's ministry or teach a Sunday school class or a junior church or serve in nursery for that matter. There was a time where we got pretty desperate, and it was like earlier on in the church, we're like, we need some nursery workers. We started thinking, maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe we should have the, just give them a background check. Maybe that's it. But imagine a new visitor comes in, and they're like, okay, here's my precious baby that I am handing over to this stranger. Are you a member? No. It's like, well, that makes me feel great, you know? That doesn't mean that people are untrustworthy. Now, how could we show partiality and favoritism toward one person over another, the person who walks in off the street and says, I want to watch those babies? Would you want a church that allows non-members to oversee and be with the most vulnerable of all in the church? I don't think so. Can I go down to Walmart and start working a cash register? I go there a lot, probably. Yeah. Somebody be like, amen, all right? Open another one up for Pete's sake, you know? Think about it. Could I go down to OCU and just hop in and start taking classes? No. Could I go play for New Hope's basketball team right now? I still got a few good years in me, you know? Put me in, coach. Put me in. And is that how it works with your job? Why is it that many are okay with joining everywhere else but church? If we don't think the local church is worthy of joining, then why should we be considered eligible to serve in that local church? Maybe some don't see a biblical issue with it. I'm not saying, again, that this for everyone. If you're visiting here, maybe, again, you're still praying, genuinely seeking the Lord about whether or not LBC is the church for you, and praise God for that, and keep doing that, and don't leave, all right? But to be honest, it's comfortable if you can come and sit and enjoy the ministries, but never have to get too involved. And I think the real truth might be for some, not for all, that we may want the blessings and privileges of being a member of a church without a lot of the responsibilities that come along with doing so. Church membership is important because it helps define the pastor's responsibility. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Think about this. There's a professor of Christian theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. His name's Greg Allison, who said this, "Who will a pastor give an account for except the members of his own church? The pastor is not responsible for all the Christians in the world or even those who visit, but only for those under his care. Likewise, he is not responsible for all the people in his community, only for believers under his leadership, church members. Membership in a local church is a way of voluntarily placing oneself under the spiritual authority of a pastor. Church membership is also important because without it, there can be no accountability or church discipline." It'd kind of be like whooping somebody else's kids. And maybe you're like, amen. I don't know. Maybe you've been there and talk about speaking of Walmart. and you're like, I would. Back in the day, we wouldn't get in trouble for that, you know. He says again, membership in a local church is a way of voluntarily placing oneself under the spiritual authority of a pastor. Now, please don't misunderstand, okay? I do not desire for people to join this church so that they can be under the authority of me as a pastor. If I'm just being blunt with you and it's Sunday evening, all right? I don't need any more members to be accountable for on the day of judgment. Charles Spurgeon, to the one who thought his church was too small, he said, "You have as many members as you will like to give an account for on the day of judgment." So it's not a, hey, I need this, all right? But how is a pastor supposed to discern whether an individual views himself as a part of the congregation or outside of the membership? If I could just echo again and again, we want you to be here, maybe whether you're a member or not, and we love to be able to minister to you. Some people may spend their entire life attending a church without joining, and that's completely their decision. If you decide on joining here, praise God. If you don't and you still come, I'd rather have you here than not. But here's what Hebrews 13, verse 7 says. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Somebody might say, well, preacher, you're my pastor, and this is my church, and we love this church. Here's something to consider. The church that many claim to love, and your pastor, if that's what I am, I'm officially asking you to become a member. So will you submit to the authority of your church that you claim as yours? Just an interesting thought. It's obvious that the early church knew their flock well. In Acts 20, Paul exhorted the elders of the Ephesian church to watch over and shepherd the people. Acts 20, verse 28 says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, is there any thought that Paul was telling the Ephesian elders that they were to feed the flock in Philippi? No. Or to take oversight of the believers in Colossae? No. It's pretty difficult to shepherd a flock if you don't know who the flock is, right? And sheep don't survive well on their own, just roaming around. This is something that I noticed after being in Circleville for about a year. And I don't know if it's just the culture here, but it's amazing how much different it is just 30 minutes south from where I was born in Chillicothe. Now, perhaps it's because different churches that are there as opposed to here. I don't know completely the spiritual heritage of this town, but one thing I've noticed is that it seems like everybody belongs everywhere, giving themselves to everyone, and never all in anywhere. That probably sounded really confusing, all right? But if you think about it, I think that many would agree. MacArthur said it this way, "It's a wonder that so many Christians don't feel the need to identify with a specific congregation through church membership. Rather than planting with one church body in developing deep spiritual roots, too many believers today seem content to drift among multiple congregations." And this is what I noticed. It's like they're in this Bible study over here, and they go to this small group over here, and they come here on Sunday morning, and they go there on Sunday night, and they're in this ministry over here. And we're everywhere, but never all in anywhere. And praise God, we have such an amazing church, and we've seen such growth, and people just all in, and I praise the Lord for that. MacArthur goes on. "Too many believers today seem content to drift among multiple congregations, landing wherever they feel their needs and interests are best served. This is a foreign concept to Scripture. What we have today is a model built on a consumer mentality. People go to church wherever their felt needs are addressed and unplug and move on when those needs change or are better met somewhere else. That pattern is completely contrary to the one we find in God's Word." So, what's the point? You're like, preacher, you already got me again. I really just want to reinforce and reiterate the importance of that. to love your local church, to be all in and involved, to use your talents and abilities and your gifts that God has given you in this local body. These are some of the most exciting days of our church. You realize that? What a blessing it is that we get to be a part of LBC at this moment in time, for such a time as this, for this generation. And we want you to be all in and be a part of it. I don't know who originally said it, but they said, hell is still hot, heaven is still real, sin is still wrong, the Bible is still God's word, Jesus is still alive, and he's coming back for his bride, and there's still work to be done. So why spend the rest of your life moving from congregation to congregation? Instead, how amazing would it be to look back in 20 or 30 or 40 years, having invested and gave and taught and loved and encouraged and invited and served and prayed, and to watch what God does here and to have your fingerprints all over it and say at the end of the day, praise God, by his grace, that's my church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the local church. I thank you for this church. I praise you, Lord, that you have shown me the greatest mercy in saving my soul and calling me to pastor this body. I thank you for the love and the care, the dedication, the sacrifice that this body makes each and every week. Thank you for the joy that is present in this place, and that joy is radiant for all to see. When visitors come in, Lord, I truly believe they see your joy on our hearts. And God, we count it a privilege to be a part of such a body. Help us to invest and to give and to serve and to love and to seek you and keep trusting you as you lead this flock. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.